I am. All right. Excuse me one moment. Okay. Well, hello, everybody. I hope everyone's been having a good week thus far. And if not so great a week, I hope that you're going to be, I'm hoping that you're getting recharged and encouraged tonight in Christ. Well, we're going to continue our class. And now tonight's lesson, you've noticed, maybe with the exception of Tyrone, when Tyrone stepped in for me back in December and did lesson number two, which was over the two greatest commandments. A lot of the class that I've been focused on when I've spoke, now that we're in lesson four, is I'm focusing a lot with God and us who are in Christ and the relationship that we have. And I've been focusing a lot more on that, and I'm going to continue that tonight. With next week, we're going to spend more time getting out into the world, if you will, and engaging like Christ. So the reason why I've been focusing a lot on us and our relationship with God is because, once again, when I'm up here and I'm doing these lessons, because I talk to myself. Strange, maybe, but I'm talking to myself. And I want you to understand that when I'm up here, I'm not preaching at you like I have something to be preaching at you about. This is Todd Watchers talking to himself and saying, look, you got to overcome some weaknesses. You need to step up your faith. You need to engage like Christ. This is the, when I came up with this title, it was because whenever I read things, I started noticing in the Bible, I'm reading and I'm thinking, you know, I just, sometimes my leaps of faith are barely steps. You ever, you know, I mean, we're used to walking along, but typically when something leaps, they cover several steps, right? I've noticed that sometimes I tend to tiptoe a little bit with my faith, but I'm resolved to move forward and do something different. Because the definition of insanity, so I've heard, is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And so I've decided that it's time to change things up a little bit for Todd Watchers. So here I am. I was asked to do this Wednesday night winter quarter by Cleo, who I'm happy to see is here tonight. It's good to see you. It is, really. I know you've been having a tough time supporting your daughter, and that's great that you're here tonight. But it is a privilege for me to get up here. And once again, when I get up here, I'm a little vulnerable, but because I feel like I'm opening up more of myself than I usually do. All right. So I heard a rumor that love will make you crazy. Well, is it true? Well, that's no rumor. Look at the crazy things that love made Jesus do. The friends he chose were thought to be outrageous. And you could even find him touching the contagious. And the craziest is how he chose to save us. He gave his life away. Then he had to go and say, gotta love the same way that I love you. Now, I know it's a little bit of slang here. I know it's a little bit, but it's actually a little bit of an upbeat song. It's a contemporary Christian song. But this gentleman here that did it is Chris Rice. And I'm very impressed with Chris Rice. I don't know much more about him, but if I had to judge him by his music, this is a man who's striving to have a relationship with God and understand God. Because his stuff that he writes, and this isn't even one of his better ones, but this song I was listening to one day, and it was one of the things that made me start thinking about how I reach out to people in in Christ? How do I reach out to them as a Christian? How do I concern myself of their spirituality, where they're at with their relationship with God? So I was thinking about this one day, and I was listening to this on the radio, and I started thinking, well, this is interesting. I think what he's saying is that you have to stop and think about what Jesus did. He didn't just change the mold. He created a whole new mold for the way to engage with the world, how to show love to others. So we discussed this. Tyrone went through and did a lesson from Mark chapter 12. And you shall love the Lord your God. That was the first commandment. What was always neat about this, the second commandment was not asked for. Right? When Jesus was asked the question, he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus said, well, there it is. You shall love the Lord your God with basically everything that you are. All right? The second is this. He throws that in there. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So I started thinking, well, how does Todd Watrous love himself? Well, I love myself enough to realize that sin is darkness, that sin separates me from God. And I'm very thankful that that I was baptized into Christ, and that I've been raised again, a new person, a new life. And I have the hope of eternal salvation with God forever. I mean, these are things that we have to consistently remind ourselves of, and that's what I'm trying to do with this class, and that's why I've been focusing a lot about us and our relationship with God in these first lessons. Because I want us to remember where we came from, where we are, and how we actually got here. I didn't earn anything. It is because of what I have in Christ Jesus and what God has offered, the redemption that he has offered in Christ, is where I'm at. So, tonight, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 6. And we're going to look at verses 27 through 40. Very similar to what we discussed last week, Matthew chapter 5. But it's interesting about this. Jesus, he goes into more detail here. And I want us to, so we're going to look, you're going to, Todd, this sounds like the same lesson. Yeah, well, but we're going to dig a little deeper. And we're going to challenge ourselves a little more and really think. So you're reading this, and if you've read this, this pops back up again. Love your enemies. All right, remember we had this discussion last week? That was the primary discussion. Loving your enemies like who? Like our Father, our Heavenly Father. And we become perfect. You know, we're trying to, it says to become perfect like your Heavenly Father. Hey, that's not something easy to do, but it is something to aim for. If anyone ever seen the movie Patriot, you know, Mel Gibson's in that one, and it's one of my favorites. There's a scene in there where he grabs, you know, his two middle youngest sons. And he grabs up all the rifles he can. He's going to go save his oldest son. And they're going to ambush this British patrol in the woods. There was something he told them. He said, aim small, hit small. And what he was telling them was you aim for like a button. Now, you might not hit that button, but you're going to hit something. And I think that's what God wants us to do. All right, we're not going to be perfect. We're not necessarily going to hit the bullseye, but at least get out there and hit the target. And the target are the fields that are white and ready to be harvested. Do good to those who hate you. By the way, has anyone been working on Love Your Enemies this past week? Well, y'all are about where I'm at. Now, come on. All right, so we got to love these enemies. All right, now God, and then Jesus throws in this, oh, by the way, and also do good to those who hate you. Well, that's not necessarily one of my favorite hobbies, right? I mean, do you go out looking for somebody that you know might strongly dislike you? Hate is really a tough word here. But just somebody you know you don't get along with, and you're going to go, you know what, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do good to them today. That's not the way most humans think. What's the world tell you to do? Right? What's that get even thing? I mean, the world doesn't think that. Human nature doesn't think that way. Well, you take a strike at me, I'm going to strike at you. How about blessing those who curse you? Can you imagine someone sitting there and getting all mad at you? Whatever it might be. Hey, and you might deserve it. I don't know. But someone gets upset with you. And they're yelling at you and spittle's coming off of you. And you're just like, oh my goodness. And they're cursing you. I mean, they're sitting there saying, I hope you have, you know, the fleas of 1,000 camels. There you go. I was waiting for y'all to liven up a little bit. Starting to worry. Y'all making me nervous. All right. But then from your mouth comes a blessing. You know, there's something interesting in Jude. It talks about Michael, the angel, the archangel. Him and Satan are having a little disagreement, it mentions in there. And it doesn't say anything about the archangel pulling out a sword and knocking Satan away, you know, 1,000 years away. He just says, God rebuke you. It's something about there's a certain time to do things, and I think God wants us to remain calm and civil, and that's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy at all when someone is mad and upset with you. And then on top of that, you're to pray for those who mistreat you. Okay, so do you see this? Do you see something here developing? Do you see the detail that's changed from what we were reading in Matthew 5? Do you see in Luke that Jesus is going deeper into how you're going to love your enemies? He's giving you stuff here that doesn't even make sense to Todd Watchers. It makes sense, but it doesn't make sense. You know why it doesn't make sense to Todd? Because to me, it's not the easy way to go. I would rather ignore most of these people. I would rather just say, eh, whatever, and move on. But I'm telling you, remain calm in the worst of situations. And it might not be that person that you're having a tough time with, but there's always an audience. Whether it be one person, whether it be 100 people in Walmart, and you're having a disagreement with somebody, there's always someone watching. And God is always watching, right? We talked about in the first lesson about being ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ. Things we learned about an ambassador. They're not in their own country. They're not delivering a message that is theirs. They have been given a message to deliver, right? And they're in a country that's not theirs. They are serving someone else. And as we go through these things, look what you have, this list. I want you to seriously think about yourself and then ask yourself, how much of this can you do in the next week, in 7 days? Woo! Love your enemies. I don't know if you got any right now. Maybe you're blessed with no enemies. I don't know. Are you going to do good to those who hate you? Even though it doesn't mean they're going to do good back to you. They might spite you. They might hate you even more for being nice to them. Are you going to bless those who curse you? Pray for those who mistreat you? Well, that's probably the easier one, right? Right? Because now I can talk to God away from this person. I'll talk to God, I'm really having a difficult time with that person. And, you know, they want me to have a flea of 1,000 camels. I'm praying that they have a flea of 10,000 camels. No, we don't want to ask that, right? But it's easier one to do because we're talking to God, and we can go to God and talk to that person. Talk to God and for that and about that person or persons. And what's neat about that is I think we start, God will answer those prayers. And we start realizing that God has a different purpose for us. Turn the other cheek. I'm sorry, but getting hit in the face is not good. All right? Todd Watrous gets hit in the face. Todd Watrous tends to have a reaction that's called a fist. And I'm pretty fast, by the way. And in my younger days, I was sometimes too fast. But there was a fellow, brother named Jay. This is hilarious. Jay Baker. He's up in Missouri now. And Jay, I moved to Montana from Tennessee when I was 15. So Jay Baker was, he's 2 years younger than me. So he was 13. And we went to a youth, I went on a youth retreat with another youth group from the next county over. So this is our church and then the Livingston Church of Christ in Livingston, Montana. I'm sitting across the picnic table. I just sat down. I had my Oreo cookies on the edge of my plate. Three of them. All right? You don't mess with a man's plate. But Jay Baker sits down across from me. Now, Jay Baker's notorious. I didn't know this because, I mean, I just barely knew the guy at this time. But even to this day, people still expect that of him because we ran into the Lightfoots up in Missouri. We were visiting during Thanksgiving. And as soon as I mentioned Jay Baker, they went, wait a minute. We know him. He's at our church. And I told this story, and they went, he did that back then too? I mean, so anyways, here's what he did. Now, he was fast. I'll give him that. He snatched that cookie from the top of the pile and put it in his mouth all in one move. I mean, it was that quick. But I'll tell you what, by the time that cookie made it right inside his mouth, my hand caught him right across the face and crushed a cookie in his mouth. And Jay's eyes were like this big. And he just went with that broken, I still see the picture of the broken Oreo in his mouth. And he's going, wow. So I told them, I said, well, I didn't see Jay while we were up there, unfortunately, because we didn't go to church with him because we were traveling in the middle of the week. But I told them, I said, just tell Jay about that story and tell him Todd said hi. So I have a bad reaction. I used to have a really, really bad temper, and I've talked about this in the past. My dad taught me how to lengthen the fuse because when I have that short temper and I get wronged or I feel like it's an injustice, I get sarcastic, which is not a good thing. Sometimes it's funny, right? But I do get really sarcastic. And when I get more and more angry, I get more and more sarcastic. If I feel like I've been wronged, I'm going to get sarcastic. And in my younger days, that sometimes I would think I was wronged. And I found out about 50% of the time I really wasn't being wronged. And me popping off with my mouth wasn't good. That resulted in my dad, last time he spanked me, I was 14 years old, by the way. My dad was built like me, except for he had forearms that were twice the size of mine. My cousins called him Popeye. My dad worked with his hands his whole life. He was a carpenter, and he worked with metal and stuff. My dad had fingers like sausage links. He had no thumbnail because it was just a sliver. His hands were so big, and I mean, he could grab you by the arm. Ooh, and that party was on. It was like getting a vice, and you went nowhere. And I popped off to my dad. And I tell you what, my dad crossed... My dad was fast, too, now I think about it. Anyways, my dad crossed that kitchen floor, and before I knew it, he had me by the arm. He snatched, and I'm all like this, and he waylaid one right into my backside. And then he stopped, and he looked up at his hand, and he looked at me, and he goes, you know what? That hurt. He said, you know, it's time to change the way we're going to correct your attitude. After that, I learned to stack and split wood in all different places in the yard. My dad would come out and go, you know what? That wood looked good over there, but you know, I think I liked it better when I had it over there. Why don't you go on and start doing it? I want to stack tight. And my dad did. I learned to split elm. Elm is a curse. But oak, I did it all. But my dad was fast. My mouth was fast. It gets you into trouble. And therefore, James tells us what? Be quick to... listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. To this day, I hear my dad telling me that. I hear my dad's voice to this day in my head telling me that verse over and over again. Now, Jennifer might testify that it hadn't worked all that great, but that's another story. All right. So here's this list. Think about it. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. Anybody recognize that? Exactly. How many times did your mothers rehearse that to you? My mom, my grandma used to say that all the time in the King James Version. But my grandma would always say this. Now, my grandma raised four boys and a girl. And then she basically raised my brother, my sister, and me, too, because we lived with her for quite a while when I was probably about from 8 to 14 when I last got whooped. But anyway, the golden rule. Jesus said this, treat others the same way you want them to treat you. Do you want to get slapped in the face? Do you want someone to pop off at you with a smart aleck mouth? Do you want someone to mistreat you? Do you want someone to treat you unjustly? Do you want somebody, do you see the list that he gave us a while ago? And now he's sitting here saying, treat others the same way. Think about that. Even those who hate you. All right, so here we go. Now, this isn't what that verse says, but I think this is there's a concept here of these two verses. And he goes in, he asks the same questions last week. He said, don't the tax collectors do these things? He said, what good is it if you love your brother? Don't the tax collectors love their brothers? Well, here he's sitting there talking about, well, don't the Gentiles? He said, what are you doing different from the rest of the world? So what are you doing above and beyond the world, I think is what Jesus was asking. He's asking us to get our heads out of the world. We're going to love people in a way, and we're going to love people by serving God, and we're going to serve them in ways that the world will say, you are crazy. And that's what they told Jesus, too. Now, let me tell you about these two young men. This is the book, in case you just want to pick it up or whatever. It's easy reading. I mean, look, Todd Watchers, I read the first 20 pages in like 15 minutes. That's fast for me, y'all. But it was easy reading. This was basically the theme of our weekend. This is where we took the theme of our weekend for our teenagers. We just did the youth winter retreat this past weekend. These two young men, Alex and Brett Harris, are twins. I believe they live in Oregon. When they published this book, they were, I don't know if they were 17 or 19. I keep hearing, I've already forgot. I meant to read the foreword again. But these guys, they take Christian principles. They take the biblical principles, and they've sit there and said, look, God did not intend for teenagers to have low expectations. They did not. They go through this whole thing, and they've developed a blog, a website. They are out there doing things, and they were challenged by their dad to not be bored and useless and waste away a summer. And they asked for it, and dad delivered. And so, so much so that when they were 17 years old, after they'd gotten, and they've got this, by the way, their website and their blog are worldwide. And it's teenagers who want to aim high. They want to go above and beyond what this world and the cultures keep telling them to do. They're the ones that they'll do a report about somebody, even though it's not an assignment that they have. But it's because they want to learn more about why was General Eisenhower a good leader? Why was what was it about Winston Churchill during World War II that he was able to keep England going and standing up when the rest of Britain was falling? These are the kind of things these kids are, they're wanting these kind of things. And then a lot of them are Christians, and they're trying to understand what God wants them to do, and they try to focus on that instead of what the world's telling them to do, which the world's telling them basically Oh, by the way, you're a teenager, you're on vacation. It's okay to be lazy and do nothing. It's okay to aim low. Matter of fact, they were making fun of, they did a Google search, and one of the articles that came up was this lady that said, hey, you know what? For parents of teenagers, let us help you with your expectations. So they said, oh, well, this looks interesting. Click, they opened it up, and you know what this lady was suggesting? Well, for those, I've already forgotten the age group now, but I think it was 10 to 12. They threw those in as teenagers, but 10 to 12, their expectations should be that they should make their bed and clean the room with the help of mom and dad. Then when you get to 12, maybe 13 to 15, you now can make your own bed and clean your own room with the help of dad maybe sometimes, mom and dad sometimes. I'm like, what? I go in there, Jennifer and I, we play this game. Jennifer did this a couple weeks ago. It was very funny. If it's left outside on the floor, it's the one in the trash. Joshua was down digging in the trash about an hour later. Man, what's this doing in here? Well, I told you, if you don't clean it, it goes away. But anyways, I like these two young men. We use this as do hard things. You'll see the T-shirts, the red T-shirts the teenagers are wearing. And we challenge them to do hard things of faith. Do hard things in serving God. And don't let this world fool you into thinking that you are on vacation. This is developing your character for the rest of your life. All right. Now, oh, by the way, I'm not starting back over at the beginning. This is continuing the same thing. We're in verse 35, 36. And love your enemies pops back up again. This is Jesus. I'm like, wow, that's just really quite interesting, isn't it? And then he says, do good. That seems obvious, but let's face it, it's not always easy. Do good by what? My standards? No, I think do good is by God's standards. Because if I did good by my standards, sometimes my expectations are a little lower than what God might want me to do. Because I'm like, can I just do this much and get by? Lend expecting nothing in return. That's a tough one. I would like my lawnmower back, personally. But I think the point here is it's a different kind of mentality, and I haven't mastered this one, and I'm really having a tough time with this one. So if anyone wants to speak up, I got a microphone right here because we'd all love to hear what you got to say. But yeah, I do. I have to admittedly, I was reading it. I understand the concept of it, but how much do you lend before it starts going, wait a minute. I'm going into the poorhouse here. Now I can't even mow my own yard anymore. But there's some concept here where I think it's setting in your heart, right? Setting in your heart what you're going to give, what you're going to do to serve God, and then you do it, right? Do you ever, you're dealing with contributions, you're thinking about, well, how much am I going to, every month I'm going to give this much. Do you do that in your head and then stick to it? That's an agreement between you and God. And God's not it's not like God needs anything from you, right? What we have, though, this is a cool concept, and it's called stewardship that I've been thinking about. A steward owns nothing. The master owns it all. He's taking care of what the master has, giving him to take care of, and we are stewards. Interesting, huh? Elton, were you going to say something? You had something on your face. All right. Now then it throws this in. You will be sons of the Most High. All right? Because he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. This is a New American Standard, by the way. I meant to look this up in King James to see what the two words say. I think evil men is still in there, or evil people or something. But ungrateful and evil. Are you ever ungrateful? Did y'all ever have any kinfolk that called you a bunch of ingrates when you were younger? That was often heard at any of our family get-togethers. We called them We'd get together every June, every other year. It wasn't every year, it was every other year, June, up in Nashville, Tennessee. We had a lock, which was basically an old lock along the Cumberland River, and they turned all these old locks where they used to put barges and stuff in, and they turned all these old locks into parks. And I think ours was Lock 6, now that I think about it, but I remember we'd go there, and it was funny because you'd call it a family reunion, right? It was a family feudal reunion sometimes. And ingrates was sometimes heard. This is in Tennessee. Well, y'all are just being ingrates. Usually had something to do with playing cards, but that's another story. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Once again, the bar is set high. Do you see the bar? The bar is our Heavenly Father. That's tough for me. I'm going, ooh, I don't know if I can get up there. But I think it comes back to is doing your best to get there. I remember Nathan, and I use him again, but Nathan told a story about one time when Logan Ingram, his eldest son, by the way, who is a mountain of a guy, but when he was a little guy, Nathan was out mowing the grass, and you know, he's doing the old push mower. And he's moving along, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of her eye, he realizes there's something moving behind him. And there's Logan with his little plastic, you know, noise-making mower that does absolutely nothing, right, except make noise. But Logan was working hard. He says he's out there, he's sweating, and he's pushing it along all that cut grass. And he wasn't doing a lick of anything to help me with that yard. But why was Nathan so happy is what Nathan said. He said, why was I so happy? That just made my heart big and feel good. Because what was Logan doing? Huh? He was copying. He was imitating his father. He was out there wanting to be like his dad. Don't you think that pleases God? You didn't jump all the way up to the bar of God and you didn't quite make it to his level. But at least you jumped, and he went, I'm proud of you. That's what God wants with hearts. I mean, King David was this incredible guy who kept going back to God every time he sinned, and it was his contrite heart that he went back to him. And God was upset with him a couple of times. I mean, let's face it, he was upset with him, but God did not abandon him. God loved him. Yes, he goofed up, but when he had that contrite heart, he would get back to God as soon as he could. And it wasn't that he was becoming like God, it was that he was trying to be like God. That our Heavenly Father is a merciful, merciful God. Do we not know that through Christ Jesus? Man, we can't forget that. All right. Do not judge. You will not be judged. Do not condemn, you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Seems a sort of flow here. Give, and it will be given to you. And 39 and 40. Now, y'all might, if anyone read ahead and you're going, what on earth, Todd, through in 39 and 40? Well, that's getting to the crux of the matter tonight. The blind leading the blind, and we ain't talking about God. All right, Jesus throws this verse in 39. He throws this in while he's talking about all these things. What happens when the blind leads the blind? I mean, it's not pretty, right? In this case, Jesus said, are they not going to fall into the pit together? The result is an epic fall. And let me tell you who's blind, this world. They are blind because they are in darkness. They are blind because they are in the darkness that I once was always in. I could maybe always see the light, but I sort of like the darkness sometimes. I was a cockroach. I was one time. But when you have come into Christ, you're a new life. You're in the light of God. All of a sudden, it's God and his light that leads you. And all of a sudden, it's a different world. Have you ever been in the darkness of the forest without any moonlight whatsoever? You might have the stars. I've been out in places in Montana where you have, the stars are pretty impressive. And there's just about enough light you can almost make out things. But if you've ever been in the thick of a forest where nothing grows, you know, they talk about the pine, in the pines, where the sun never shines. Well, what they're talking about is down below, there ain't nothing growing. It's just thickness. It cuts out the sunlight, cuts out the moonlight. And it's dark. And every little thing that moves in the night, all of a sudden, the hackles are up. And you're like, oh, what was that? That sounded a little bigger than it did earlier today. It's a little mouse running across there, and you're picturing grizzly bear. Right? But then all of a sudden, when the morning sun brings light, things seem a little more relieved. You're like, okay, good, I can see them. Okay, there's the mountain over there, and all right, those are the trees, okay. All right, this is good. I can actually see down this trail now, and oh, that was a stump. I thought that was a bear. All right, so, you know, all of a sudden, it's light, right? It's not the blind leading the blind. There's not an epic fall going to result because now we're in Christ. We're being led by our Almighty God, our Heavenly Father. So a pupil is not above his teacher, right? And everyone, after being fully trained, will be like his teacher. This is verse 40. Now we got some interesting questions. So everyone, after being fully trained, will be like his teacher, so says Jesus the Christ. How do we train in our day-to-day lives? I'm asking, now remember, when I'm doing this thing, I'm talking to Todd Watchers. So I'm not talking to all my people in my head, but I threw we in there because I was for the class, but what are we training for? Are we allowing ourselves to be fully trained by our Lord and Savior? I mean, I'm assuming that's who our teacher is. I know that's what Jesus is talking about. He is our teacher. We are his disciples, his pupils. So think about, what are you doing to start training? Are you really training yourselves? Well, praying to God, studying his word. Ooh, that's some good stuff there. Meeting with the church family. Man, that's some good stuff here, people. It's some good stuff. Because if you're listening to the news, if you're out there, yeah, Jennifer's like shaking her head. No, don't listen to news. I get upset when I listen to news. I got soapboxes that make a skyscraper look short. So, when you're out there and you're going through all these things, you got to get away from this world, y'all. If this world is tearing you down and it's discouraging you and you're going, oh, man, that makes me angry, and you get all bitter and spiteful. You know what the problem is? This is me talking to Todd Watchers. The problem is I'm not spending enough time with my Lord and Savior. I'm not spending time in my Heavenly Father's Word. I'm not spending enough time with Him. And all of a sudden, when I start going, you know what? I ain't even going to look at the Drudge Report today. I don't even want to know about any headlines. I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to read some of His Word today. And all of a sudden, you know what? Day goes a lot easier for me. Blood pressure stays relatively low. So I start training. I'm starting to go, okay, maybe this is part of my training. What am I training for? Well, I'm training to be an ambassador for Christ. That's my mission this year, is to be an ambassador for Christ. Are we allowing ourselves to be fully trained by, not just partially, fully? Going back to Chris Rice's song, he gave his life away, then he had to go and say, gotta love the same way that I love you. Love like crazy. And what he means in his song is that you love like Jesus, because to this world, it is crazy the way Jesus loved. All right, we're going to wrap this up now. Romans 5, 8 through 10. If you read that, this phrase is in there. We, that's us, were enemies of who? Of God. If you read those verses, it says we were enemies of God. Wow. But you know what? In Christ, we aren't anymore. And you know what we did? Nothing really. It was God who came to us with not just an olive branch, but with the blood of his own son. And said, I want to redeem you. Wow. Start thinking about these kind of things. Focus on these kind of things. All right. You know, you can get upset about politics, but focus on these things. All right. And then there's Ephesians. Now I'm going to read this Ephesians passage. If I can see it, this is smaller than mine. All right, I see. For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Do you ever consider being filled up with the fullness of God? Well, you know what? I don't consider it enough either. That's why I'm compelled with this class, with what I'm talking to y'all about and what I'm sharing with you about. So next week, we've been talking a lot about us, our relationship with God. Next week, I'm stepping out, and we're talking about how Jesus started engaging. I'll put my clicker down. Excuse me. And this is what we're going to talk about. Engaging a great centurion faith. Matthew chapter 8, 5 through 13. Read ahead. Think about it. Because this is very interesting. It's a very interesting thing when you think about the culture and the time of what Jesus says in front of a crowd in regards to this centurion. A crowd that's filled with Israelites. Enough for now. Just note it's about 3 after. Note we started about 5 minutes late. Not bad. I'm working on that timing, Ken. So anyway, all right. Thank y'all very much.